Shabbat Shalom. And I have a very special message to give today. And the message is called, My Kingdom is Not of This World. My Kingdom is Not of This World. And we talked about this a lot with the purpose of man. When you look at Genesis 1 and 2 and the creation of human beings, in particular Ha-Adam, the first man, who was put in the garden, right? And the whole point of Yahweh taking Adam out of the society and putting him in the garden was he was going to colonize the earth. And that's why in what's called, you know, the Heavenly Father's Prayer, it says, Your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven, also on the earth. Because Yahweh, his plan was to colonize the earth the way it is in heaven. And again, heaven was never given to human beings. You know, it says in Isaiah 66, heaven is Yahweh's throne. But from that time of Adam's treasonous actions with not following Yahweh and going against, you know, giving his allegiance over to the serpent, to the devil, everything has been about restoring the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's why I give a trick question sometimes, you know, and I say, how many parts is the Bible broken down into? And people say two, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I say, no, two, you're right, but it's Genesis 1 and 2, and then the rest of the Bible, everything else from there is the restoring of mankind back to Yahweh. So I want to talk today about this. My kingdom is not of this world. I want to show the difference of Satan's kingdom of this world and Yahweh's kingdom, the one that we're living for. Matthew 4, verse 17 says, From that time Yeshua began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. And then in verse 23, And Yeshua went around all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. So we see over and over and over again in Scripture, particularly when Yeshua first comes on the scene, that everywhere he's going, he's preaching the good news of the kingdom of Yahweh. Everything that he did was for that kingdom. John 4 and verse 32 says, But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Then the disciples said to one another, No one brought him food to eat. Yeshua said to them, My food is that I should do the will of him who sent me and that I may finish his work. So, you know, like we said, Yeshua ate, thought, and breathed the kingdom of Yahweh. It was such a reality to him because he's the king of the kingdom. And of course, he was there eternally with the Father in heaven. But it's amazing how every single thing Yeshua did, he was never out of character. Even though he can enjoy a wedding and a glass of wine, he could be around sinners and he could be, you know, holding children in his arms and all kinds of different things that he could do. At the same rate, he never was out of character as far as living for the kingdom of Yahweh. And the opposite is the world we live in today. And this is the dichotomy that we have to live in. I always say the kingdom of Yahweh is not just a reality, but it's a mentality. It's something that you have to live in every day. And yet every single day of your life, the minute you step out your front door, you know, you're outside of the kingdom of Yahweh and you're actually in the kingdom of Satan. And I think that a lot of people just don't realize that. People, you'd have to be blind as a bat to realize how corrupted the world is. And I think everybody, no matter what religion they are, even if they're atheists, everybody sees that there's something wrong with this world. But as believers, we have to understand there's more than that. That in the end time that we're living in, that literally Satan has overtaken the world. He has overtaken the world system. And literally that he has created a global world system that's his. It's not Yahweh's. Revelation 12 and verse 9 says, And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, right? So the same one from the Garden of Eden, being called the devil and Satan, no doubt about it. He deceiving the whole inhabitable world. And he was cast onto the earth and his cherubs were cast out with him. So the only thing that's not here yet is Satan literally being physically, taking a physical body, manifesting in a body, and being the literal persona of a person as the king of that kingdom. And we know it's coming. You know, we'll talk about a little bit of that later. But the system is here already. The world system, like I said, when you walk out your door, it is not the kingdom of Yahweh. It is the kingdom of Satan, no doubt about it. The world system that Satan has created, and he's deceived the whole world. Everyone is deceived in his system. And that system includes religion, politics, education, family structure, and even the idea of what happiness is. You know, at the end of the day, everybody wants happiness. They're just being deceived in how to get it. So our youth that are 18, 19, 20 years old, that are being conned, that go to college for 6 and 8 and 9 years, get $200,000 in debt, and you're going to be happy. Nope, it's not working for them. Suicide rate is the highest we've ever seen with youth, the depression rates. You know, religious circles, you know, people, oh, just accept Jesus in your heart and you'll be happy. No, some of the Christianity are the worst, unhappiest people, and even suicidal and depression among Christians is the highest of anybody there. Islam, don't really have to get into there too much. You're not going to be too happy if you're, you know, going around chopping people's heads off and you know, being abusive the way that religion is. Politics. Politics is about the most pathetic thing in the world today that, you know, you could understand politics. Like when you look today at President Trump, right? This whole America First thing. You could understand a president of a country doing that. Every president should be doing that, right? Going to other leaders in a respectful way and saying, look, I represent my country and we're going to do what's best for our country. But unfortunately, there's no leader that does that. And even in America, the people being hoodwinked that somehow President Trump is for them and he's good. And really, President Trump is for himself the way every world leader is. And it's again, it's a facade because it's Satan's system. So it doesn't matter whether it's people, religion, politics, education, family structure, happiness. Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 says, because this is not just my opinion, this is a reality that you really have to grasp. And unless you grasp this, you'll never say, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, you have to grasp that. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 says, but if our good news is being hidden, it is being hidden to those that are lost, right? And that's the point. The ones that are lost, the ones that love this system, they will never come to the truth. Because they love a system, even though it's torturing them, it's this codependency that they have because they're brainwashed into thinking that it's making them happy when it's the absolute opposite. But if our good news is being hidden, it's hidden to those who are lost, to those whose eyes have been blinded by the God of this world, because they did not believe, lest the light of the glorious good news of the Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine on them. So fake news is not something that just came up with, you know, Donald Trump's presidency. Fake news has been there since the Garden of Eden. You know, when Satan came to Eve in the garden and was trying to persuade her that Yahweh was, you know, the only reason he didn't want her to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is because then she'd be like him, knowing good and evil, was fake news. It started all the way then. It goes today because, like it says, he has blinded to those whose eyes have been blinded by the God of this world because they did not believe, lest the light of the glorious good news of the Messiah, which is the only real news, that's not fake news, that's the only good news, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine on them. So Satan is the God of this world and has blinded those who love the world more than the kingdom. And that's why on the money, when you look, the American dollar, which is the reserve currency of the world, which means in the biggest market of the world, which is the biggest trading market of the world? Oil. More than anything, that's what's traded more billions of dollars than anything else. And it can only be traded in U.S. dollars. So when, let's say, Japan is trading oil with Saudi Arabia, both of those countries have to buy dollars to trade the oil because it's the reserve currency. They did this back in the 1970s, made United States dollar the reserve currency, maybe even before that, actually. And that's why on the money it says, in God we trust, right? Because who's the God of this world? It's Satan. The whole Babylonian money system, the whole economic system of Babylon, the trading system, this worldwide trading system, is an evil system that makes the rich richer, the poor poorer, and it suppresses the worst people and the, you know, the most poorest people, let's say, you know, the worst economic people with the worst situation, the poorest people in the world. So in God we trust is Satan, the god of this world, because they would never put on the money in Yeshua we trust, or in Yahweh we trust, not in a million years. They wouldn't even put, even though Jesus is a fake name, they would never put in Jesus we trust, right? And but they put in G-O-D because Satan is the G-O-D of this world. Yeshua even conceded this, Matthew 4 in verse 8. So this is a concept that is so biblically foundation that I'm surprised more people don't understand it. But even in Matthew 8, right? This is when Yeshua, right after he receives the Holy Spirit, and where does he go? To the wilderness. We'll be talking a lot in the coming weeks and months about that. Why the wilderness? Why Yahweh sends his leaders to the wilderness? Why the Israelites went to the wilderness? But here it is. Yeshua goes to the wilderness. What does it say? And again, the devil takes him to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he says to him, I will give all these things to you if falling down you will worship me. So, unless you understand what I'm saying here about Satan literally being the god of this world, of Yahweh allowing him from the Garden of Eden to bring this evil world system so that he can try men's hearts, because you say, why would Yahweh even allow it? He allows it because this is the way that Yahweh tries the hearts and the souls of men to see whether they're going to live in a kingdom mindset or they're going to live in the kingdom of Satan. So now Yeshua doesn't say to him, hey, wait a second. You don't have any authority over these kingdoms. What are you talking about? No, Satan is here literally trying to tempt Yeshua by giving him authority over the kingdoms that he had authority over. Let me read that again. And the devil said to Yeshua, I will give, you know, and he shows him first in verse 8, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he says to him, I will give all these things to you, if falling down you will worship me. Then Yeshua said to him, go Satan, for it is written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only shall you serve. So Yeshua never questioned the fact that he did have the authority to do that. But he said, no, I don't want this. And each of us every day, whether it's trying to tell our kids or our children that this decision when they're getting to be 17 and 18 and 19, do not go to worldly colleges. You don't need it. You don't need the worldly colleges. You don't need to get in $200,000 in debt to make a name for yourself in Satan's world system. It's not the way we do it as believers, right? This is what it's about, that we worship Yahweh in him alone. In him alone is where there's truth. So Yeshua concedes that Satan is the god of this world. John 18 in verse 33, we see it again. John 18 in verse 33, and this is when Yeshua is before Pontius Pilate. And look what he says. Then Pilate again went into the praetorium and called Yeshua and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Yeshua answered him, do you say this from your heart, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your nation, even the chief priests, delivered you up to me. What did you do? Yeshua answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have fought, and I might not have been delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Remember what he said to Peter when Peter took the sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. He said, put it back. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. He said, don't you know now I can call 12 legions of angels and my father would send them? But his kingdom is not of this world. And that's why we don't fight in the military, because our kingdom is not of this world. We're not fighting for an earthly kingdom. Ours is of a heavenly kingdom. Then Pilate said to him, are you really a king? Yeshua answered, you say that I am king. For this purpose I have been born. And for this I have come into the world, that I might witness to the truth. Everyone being of the truth hears my voice. Then Pilate said to him, what is truth? What is truth, right? And he's saying that, why? Because here he sees Yeshua is right. He believes Yeshua. He sees Yeshua did nothing wrong. And he sees that the leaders at that time, religious leaders, were only trying to get Yeshua killed because of envy, right? So like I say, there's been fake news since the beginning of time. And that's why Pilate says, what is truth? Because there is no truth. There's no truth in worldly politics. There's no truth in worldly education. Worldly education, what are they teaching? They're teaching that there's no creator, that everything came from an explosion. Well, if there's nothing there, what exploded, right? They teach that abortion is not murder, but it's a woman's, you know, human right to choose. There's fake news from the beginning of time. And that's why Pilate is saying, what is truth? What is truth? Well, what is truth? John 17:17. John 17:17. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. That is all that's truth. And that's why, you know, I say, there's a lot of good books you can read. You know, I've written 5 books. They're good books, but they're not the truth. It's a book written about the truth. A sermon I'm given, they could be really awesome sermons that could help you with the truth, but it's not the truth. It's a sermon about the truth. The only truth is Yahweh and Yeshua. The only truth is His word. Your word is truth. His word is truth, and Yeshua is the living word. And in that truth, where in the world today, every government is corrupt. And like I said, in a human stance, you can't, you know, be against somebody saying, you know, the leader of that country being for their country first. That's what they're supposed to do as the leader. And yet when you look at countries today, like Zimbabwe, that recently had an evil leader, Robert Mugabe, praise Yahweh, he's gone now. But that ruined his people, tortured his people. North Korea, people like North Korea, and unfortunately, you know, Kim Jong-un is not a good person. You know, he's not a good person. So, you know, how do you negotiate with somebody who's an evil dictator that has had thousands and thousands of people killed, that has been tortured his own people, and even leaders? You know, recently they had that meeting with President Trump, and because it didn't go so well, the ones who organized the meeting got killed. Organized the meeting. Kim Jong-un had them killed. So you can't, this is the governments of the world though. And in Yahweh's kingdom, and we talk a lot about judicial order. We have a whole lesson in our Bible lessons on judicial order. But unfortunately, sometimes even elders and those in leadership don't understand what judicial order is. Because judicial order is not government from the top down. It's not that I'm the leader, you follow me because I'm the leader. That's not judicial order. Judicial order is service from the bottom up. He who wants to be greatest among you, let him be your servant. That's the kingdom of Yahweh. That's the kingdom mentality. And why do we follow judicial order? Not because of the person. We follow it because of Yahweh. We follow judicial order because of Yahweh. Because in the congregation, like Yeshua never went out and proselytized. That's not the way we bring the truth. What we do is we bring the truth to the world, and all those that are of the truth, the ones that Yahweh are calling, will come to the truth. I'm not out there trying to convince anybody of anything. What I'm doing is I'm bringing the truth of Yahweh. And the ones that see His Spirit in me, and they see that I'm the servant of Yahweh bringing this, they follow the judicial order because they're following Yahweh. Because it's His order, it's not man's order. And that's what makes it different than the kingdoms of this world. Because the kingdoms of this world are evil, and it's never for the betterment of the people. Can you imagine, we're living in a time now where we have such technology that there can even be heart transplants and even synthetic valves that they can put in people's hearts to keep them alive. They can transplant faces. They can do things like you can't imagine. And yet still, you have about 70 to 80% of the world living in poverty. How can that be? How can people, like in America, Babylon, how could you have a $800 billion budget every year for military, and you have children starving around the world that don't even have rice to eat? Because this kingdom, our kingdom, is not of this world. This is the kingdom of Satan, and in the kingdom of Satan, there's a lot of collateral damage. Throughout millennia, people have asked the question, well, if there is Elohim in heaven, why would He allow children to suffer? Why would He allow war? Let me tell you something. Yahweh did not cause war. Yahweh did not cause children to suffer. Go back to Genesis 3 and see why children are suffering, seeing why there's war. It's because mankind has refused. They have refused the judicial order of Yahweh. They have refused the kingdom mentality. They have refused the very things that would bring happiness in the world, and mankind has chosen to go his own way. And that's why through the millennia, you've had governments that were either controlled by paganism, you know, and pagan beliefs, or today, which is even worse, secular humanism. A belief that mankind can solve all his own problems without a creator. And that's why, what do they come up with? Only in the 1800s, you know, they come up with the Darwinism. They come up with, you know, creation without a creator. Can you imagine? You know, that sounds good. Take a child who's in first grade and try to tell them that and see if you're going to get anywhere. That, oh yeah, Johnny or Susie, that's a beautiful dress you have on. Where did your mommy make it or did you buy it? Oh no, neither. It just happened. I just woke up and it happened. It came from nothing. But Susie, it's made, isn't it made of cotton? Isn't it? No, actually it just came from nothing. Something exploded in our basement and I went down there and this dress was there with all the beautiful lace and all the other things. Come on. It's totally ridiculous and stupid. But that's why they want it, because they don't want accountability to the kingdom of Yahweh. It's that simple. They simply don't want accountability. All governments of man are failures based on pride, greed, and power. And power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Lust based on getting power and holding it and increasing it at any cost. So that person may sound humble. He may say he's out to help the people while he's running for office. But the minute they get in there, the only thing they care about is holding that power. That's it, period. Only the kingdom of Yahweh is based on love for the people. It's totally different. 2 Timothy 3. We see exactly in the end time what the governments of this world and the people of this world are like. This is the kingdom of Satan now. I'm reading you. But know this, in the last days, disastrous times will be upon us, right? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, without natural feeling, addicted to lust, slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, right? You look at social media, what's social media for? Braggarts, arrogant, right? All people want is likes and dislikes, thumbs up, thumbs down. People are so prideful and arrogant, and it's sickening, but that's the kingdom of Satan, because Satan is prideful and arrogant, and he is instilling this. And this is the system he's created. This system didn't come from nowhere. This worldwide system that Satan has used in Babylon and has brought it to the world, it's an evil, evil system, right? Without natural feeling, addicted to lust, millions of pornography websites, every kind of evil thing you can imagine. Polygamy is back, you know, after thousands of years of being eradicated. You know, just like sometimes measles and these other things, you think you eradicated it, and then it comes back. Polygamy and all of this evil perversions are back today as we see them, without self-control, slanderers, haters of good, traitors, hasty boasters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim. And that's the way Satan gets them in his kingdom. Because in Yahweh's kingdom, there's accountability. You can't just do whatever feels good. You can't just do whatever you want. There's accountability, because you know what? Your actions are going to affect somebody else and they're going to hurt somebody else. And Yahweh's not going to allow that in his kingdom, because he's the king of the kingdom. In Satan's kingdom, he could care less what you do. As long as it's disobedient to Yahweh, and he knows human nature. He knows without the spirit of Yahweh, human nature is flawed. So he'll let you do whatever you want to try to do as long as you don't use the spirit of Yahweh. But this is the characteristics of the world systems. Politicians, they lie, they cheat, they steal. Everybody is just out for money, and everything is based on money and pride and greed. And that's every day you walk out of there. Every day you walk out of your front door. That's the system that all of us are living in. And it's worldwide. It's not just Babylon. Babylon's getting destroyed because they brought that system to the world. But they did it primarily, you know, they've been doing it for 70 years. But now with the internet, they really have been able to, the internet and the iPods and the iPhones, to get in every single human being's head on the planet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's that simple. You know, you have something like Facebook with 6 billion people on Facebook. There's only 8.5 billion people in the world. How on earth can 6 billion to 7 billion just be on that one entity of a social media? Because Satan is pretty good. He's pretty good at what he does. So now let's go into the difference, because you might be saying, well, you know what? I understand it. The world is bad. You're right. But, you know, at least Hitler isn't there. You know, it could have been worse. What if Hitler won the war back in World War II? You know, it would have been a lot worse. What if every country was like North Korea, you know, and communist? What if every country was like China and communist? Can it be a lot worse? And you know what? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure, because you want to know something? As terrible as those places are, and I know I wouldn't want to live in China or I wouldn't want to live in North Korea, I can tell you one thing. The believers in those countries are stronger than the believers in the democratic societies. So is it better to go through persecution and be stronger, or is it better to have these false facade of freedom in your mind and be destroying yourself from within? That's a question each person has to ask themselves. But I don't believe democracy, or like I like to call it, demonocracy, I don't believe it's helped anybody. Because at least when you're looking at something like communism, you know, or with Hitler, any human being could look at that and say, wow, that's evil, right? But yet most people in the world today would not call democracy evil. They would say, and I've heard even believers say, well, it's, you know, it may not be the best system, but it's the best we have. Wow, no, it's not. It is not the best we have. We have the kingdom of Yahweh. And my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not world democracy. Satan's way is demonocracy. You cannot be an effective worker for the kingdom and think demonocracy or democratically like a Babylonian. You can't serve two masters, right? So the key is to, when you're living in a place like China or North Korea, when you're living, or like the Waldenses that lived under the horrible rule of the Catholic Church, and they were tortured and beaten, and you could read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it's horrible to read these stories, to see brothers and sisters that are just beaten and killed, even children. But you want to know something? At the same rate, in every story, their heart and their faith was never challenged. And that's the amazing part. And yet in democracy, people's hearts are challenged because they're believing it. They're not seeing they're part of a system that is demonic. And because they're giving every pleasure that they want, and because they're physically not being beaten, they're thinking it's not so bad. And I believe it's worse. And that's why I say I believe Christianity is a more dangerous religion than Islam. Because Islam might cut off your head. Islam may threaten your physical life. But Islam can't take your soul. There are not a lot of believers that are turning to Islam. Yet on the other side, Christians, wow. To say that Yahweh's Torah is nailed to a cross? To say that Yeshua loved me even in my sin? You know, they've had all this stuff with homosexuality lately and all these gay parades. And they had people saying, well, I know if Jesus was here, he'd be walking in the gay parade. That's coming because of Christians. That's coming because of the false perception Christians are bringing to the world, that Jesus accepts you as you are. And that's just not something you find in the Bible. Because in the Bible, what you find is Yeshua, even like the woman that's caught in adultery, right? And what does he say? Yes. Him without sin cast the first stone. But then he turns to the woman and says, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come to you. You will never find from Genesis to Revelation where Yahweh ever once condoned sin. Because sin is what brings death. Torah doesn't bring death. Obedience doesn't bring death. Sin brings death. And Satan has coerced and tricked society through democracy, through I have freedom and I have a choice and this is my human right. He's tricked these people into thinking that even Yeshua accepts this kind of stuff, that even Yahweh accepts this kind of stuff, and it's not. And it's the total opposite. Yahweh loves them. He wants them to repent. But if they don't repent, it will bring death. Sin brings death. Romans 6:23. So we have to understand this. It is very, very dangerous. So let me go over very quickly seven ways that a democracy is different than a kingdom, because we have to get our mind, our human nature is corrupted. In every society since Adam and Eve, the majority of people were unrighteous. So democracy simply means Laodicean, ruled by the people. It's a majority vote. And that's why, you know, it's kind of scary that the American Constitution has held up for about 230 years. And now they are seriously considering changing that Constitution because they're saying it's a different world we live in. And you know what? That's what a democracy does. A democracy gives you the opportunity that, okay, today if we believe marriage is between a man and a woman, that's fine. But in 50 years, if we want to say marriage is between, you know, a pig and a goat, marriage is between two men, marriage is between this, then we can do it. It's whatever the majority wants. That's democracy. And like I said, from the days of Adam and Eve until today, every society, the majority has been evil. There's never one society ever. Show me one in the history of man where the majority of people were good. So democracy right off the bat is a bad idea. And in the democracy, the people elect the leader, right? We have elections. People choose. So who are they going to choose? They're going to choose the person that fits their lifestyle the best. That's democracy. But in a kingdom, the king chooses the subjects. John 6:44, right? What does Yeshua say? John 6:44. No man is able to come to me unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. So in a democracy, the people choose the leader. In a kingdom, the king chooses the subjects. And 2 Corinthians 5:20, right? There on behalf of Messiah, we are ambassadors, right? So that's another thing. Because we're chosen by Yahweh and we're living in a kingdom mentality, the same way a country has ambassadors all over the world in their embassies. So if you're in China and you're an ambassador there, you're not a Chinese member of a country, you're not a Chinese citizen, but you're a diplomat. You are an ambassador for the kingdom of Yahweh in China at that time, you know? So that's what happens. For me, we've been 21 years in Israel, and I'm not an Israeli citizen, but I am the ambassador for the kingdom of Yahweh in Israel. And that's why I've been sent to United Nations. I've been sent to other countries, you know, Africa and all over, going as a diplomat, as an ambassador for the kingdom of Yahweh. Number two, in a democracy, the people support the government through taxes. In a kingdom, the king supplies all the needs of the subjects. So in a democracy, the people support the government through taxes. In a kingdom, the king supplies all the needs of the subjects. Matthew 6:24. Matthew 6:24. And this is really big because that's one of the ways that Satan gets people into this democratic mindset, is because countries and democracies and systems don't take care of people. So they feel they have to take care of themselves. And that's why they want to go out and get degrees and do this and make a lot of money and buy their own things. But in a kingdom mindset, the king supplies all the needs of the people. Matthew 6:24. No one is able to serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or cleave to the one and despise the other. You're not able to serve Yahweh in wealth. You can't live and work and give your allegiance and your money and your education in Satan's system and Satan's kingdom and then walk away and claim, yes, I'm part of the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, there is no dual citizenship. And it's interesting. I have dual citizenship. America allows it. So I'm an Italian citizen, an American citizen. But many countries don't allow dual citizenship. So the kingdom of Yahweh doesn't allow dual citizenship. You can't have a passport for the kingdom of Satan and have a passport for the kingdom of Yahweh. It's one or the other. You can't serve two masters. It's very clear. So you have to decide what kingdom you belong to. Because of this, I say to you, do not be anxious for your soul, what you eat and what you drink, nor for your body, what you put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Observe the birds of the heaven. They do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Do you not rather excel them? But who of you, by being anxious, is able to add one cubit to his stature? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin. But I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as one of these. Can a human being ever clothe himself the way that Yahweh clothes the fields with the beautiful flowers? If Yahweh so enrobes the grass of the field, which is today, and is thrown into a furnace tomorrow, will he not much rather, you of little faith? Then do not be anxious, saying, what may we eat, or what may we drink, or what may clothe us? For after all these things the nations, the pagans, seek. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I've had a lot of people say that to me with leaving Babylon. How can you survive? How on earth can you survive if you leave there, if you can't work? You know, what are we going to, where will we get clothing? How will we pay the rent? Read what I just read here. If you are an ambassador, you are representation for the kingdom of Yahweh, and he is sending you somewhere as his ambassador, he will take care of you. And I can attest to that because we are 20 years out of Babylon this summer. 20 years. And Yahweh is taking care of us. Not without taking any salary or money from the congregation, but Yahweh is taking care of us. And we don't live a lavish lifestyle, but he is taking care of every one of our needs and 1,000 times more. You know, because you have to trust him. You know, and Yahweh will take care of you. So in a democratic people, in a democracy, people support the government through taxes. In a kingdom, the king supplies all the needs of the subject. Number three, in a democracy, anyone can join or migrate to, right? That's why they have millions of people coming through the southern border of the United States. Although you also have more than 1 million people a year legally coming in and migrating. You can migrate from anywhere in the world. But in a kingdom, it's only through lineage. You don't migrate to a kingdom. Can you imagine going to England and going to Buckingham Palace and meeting the Queen and asking her, Madam Queen, I would like to know, how do I migrate into your lineage? How do I migrate? I want to live here. Oh, Buckingham Palace is wonderful. I want to live here. How do I migrate to Buckingham Palace? You know, unless you're someone like Meghan Markle, I guess, you know, that, you know, you marry into it, you know, but that's a whole other story I won't get into. But you don't migrate into a kingdom. Galatians 3 and verse 29 says, and if you are of Messiah, then you are seeds of Abraham, even heirs according to the promise. If you are Messiah, you are seeds of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. So if you come to Messiah, then you're grafted in to the one family of Israel. And then you become a literal lineage. So democracy, anyone can join, but a kingdom is only through lineage. Number four, democracy is ruled by a parliament, but a kingdom is ruled by the laws of the king. So in a democracy, you can change the law anytime you want. You know, and that's what's happening now. Sometimes there's laws, whether it's with immigration or something, and you'll see people come out and say, what? Just change the law. Have Congress just change the law. Not in a kingdom. In a kingdom, that law is there, and we know it from in the city of David, we found 58 seals. And when the king would seal a document, that was it. The document could not be changed. Malachi 3:6, for I am Yahweh, I do not change. Because of this, you sons of Jacob are not destroyed. So Yahweh doesn't change. His law is eternal, and that is it. And in a kingdom, you're required to keep that law. That's what Yahweh requires us. And that's why it's an utterly ridiculous, it is a treasonous saying that the Torah, the law, is nailed to a cross. It's treasonous because that law is the living character of Elohim, of Yahweh, of Yeshua. And Yeshua is the living word, right? So to say that his eternal word, his character, is done away with is simply treasonous. Esther 8 and verse 8 says, and this is when, you know, the command is going out, you know, the decree. And it says, you write to the Jews according to the good in your eyes in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, there is no taking back. So this is what happened in the book of Daniel, remember? The king made a decree. Anybody that for the next 30 days does not, you know, worships their Elohim and doesn't worship the king is going to go to the lions. And even though that king loved Daniel and didn't want it to happen, once the king set the decree and sealed it with his ring, it couldn't be changed because that is a kingdom principle. So in a democracy, people can protest. And again, Laodicean, ruled by the people. And if they protest long enough, you'll get a change in the law. Not in the kingdom. The king's word stands forever. I am Yahweh, I change not. There are moral absolutes. And that's why today, where 20 years ago, people would have never remotely thought that marriage can be defined anything else but between one man and one woman. Today it is, because they're using a democracy and they're changing the mind of the people, and Satan will do it. Satan will infiltrate the mind over and over and over, and he'll wind up changing them. And then in democracy, it's majority of the people. Democracy, people desire freedom to rule themselves, but a kingdom, all desire to be the bond servant of the king, right? 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, which you have from Elohim, and you are not of yourself? You were bought with a price. Then glorify Elohim in your body and your spirit, which belong to Elohim. So slavery is a good thing, as long as you have a good master. You know, again, that's the thing. In democracy, you know, people want repercussions and this, and slavery, how bad it is. And I'm not taking away that the slavery that was in America in the 1700s, 1800s was bad in a lot of cases, not all of them. But people abused other people, and unfortunately, that's democracy. That people given power will abuse other people. But just the idea of slavery is actually a good thing. Because what it means is that you're a slave. Your master has the obligation to care for you. And in the kingdom setting, we are all slaves of Messiah and slaves of Yahweh. And Yahweh will care for each of us. So as long as you're in the right setting, slavery is actually a very good thing. Democracy, people desire freedom to rule themselves, but a kingdom, all desire to be bondservant of the king, because we can't rule ourselves. We already proved that. You know, 6,000 years later, we're on the brink of destroying every man, woman, and child from the planet, and we just keep making more bombs that can kill faster and quicker. That's where the freedom is brought to. Number six, democracy rules are all man-made and flawed. Man has become an end to himself. Whereas in a kingdom, all focus on the king and his edicts, right? So the American Constitution starts with we the people. We the people. What's wrong with that? Because in the Bible, we see, thus saith Yahweh. How different are those two ideas, right? Democracy, we the people. Kingdom mindset, thus saith Yahweh. So we the people is flawed from the beginning. Because we don't care what we the people think. We care what thus saith Yahweh says. Because in the end, we the people will always lead to secular humanism, where man will believe he can solve all his own problems by himself without the help of Elohim. That is ultimately where we the people ends up. Democracy is basically man's evolution of himself to become his own Elohim. That's what it is. That's the end game of secular humanism, where man becomes his own God. And number seven, in a democracy, there is private ownership of property, but in a kingdom, the king owns everything. Psalm 24 in verse 1. Psalm of David, the earth belongs to Yahweh and the fullness of it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers, right? So in a democracy, that's what people want. They want private ownership. And that's why even believers sometimes, when we talk about community and kibbutz, and we read those scriptures in Acts, and everything was in common, and no one said anything that he had belonged to himself. And people are like, uh-oh, okay, you know, I want a kingdom mindset, but that might be going a little too far. But the reason why there's no private ownership in a kingdom is the king is providing every need. You don't need anything. So it's amazing. That's why I love taking people to the kibbutzes in Israel, because they're in a functional way, and kibbutz is not the best scenario of it, because they're really not living in with the spirit of Yahweh there. But in a functional way, they are living in community. So one way, you go into a kibbutz where there's, you know, let's say 700 people living there. And people say, well, if nobody can own a car, then how would anyone get to work? What if there's an emergency? Come follow me. You see that parking lot there with those 300 cars? You need a car, you take one. Oh, by the way, you don't have to pay insurance. If the car breaks, you don't have to pay. You have no responsibility. You just need a car, you sign it out, you take it. So in the community mindset, the reason why there's no private property is you don't need anything. Yahweh provides everything. Yahweh provides everything. So on the kibbutz, they have their health care. They have whatever is needed, and everybody is also working. But everything that's needed. There's no private ownership, democracy. There's private ownership of property, one of the greatest rights, right, to own your own things. But in the kingdom, You don't need it. The king owns everything, but he shares every single thing you need. So if each of us, I'll bet you, and maybe later today, think about this. Think of things in your life that you may actually need that you don't have right now. Maybe something like health insurance, you know, or a certain thing you need to buy that you can't afford, right? In a kingdom mindset, you wouldn't need it. Whatever you would need, I know in one day of the kibbutzes, like they said, there was an older man that lived in the kibbutz his whole life, and he got to the point where he couldn't walk anymore. And he couldn't walk up the stairs, you know, going to the house. So what do? He can't afford, he doesn't have any money for his wheelchair to go up there. And the kibbutz says, no problem, we'll just build a ramp. That's the way the kingdom of Yahweh is. Whatever you would need, Yahweh would provide, you know. But yet, you wouldn't, in the democracy mindset, you wouldn't be hoarding all this stuff that you don't need. And that's the problem. When you have a ownership mindset, you start to hoard things. And that's why the kingdom of Yahweh is, like the Apostle Paul says, whatever is in your possession, just have the mindset that you don't own it. Use it if you need it, and then when you don't need it anymore, give it to somebody else. But don't have in your mindset of possessing, because that's not the kingdom of Yahweh. So here it is, seven very basic principles, but show you diametrically different a democracy is to the kingdom of Yahweh. And why are kingdom principles so hard to understand in the West? Because democracy was established as a rebellion to a kingdom. You know, the way the United States started was in a rebellion to the king. That's what they did. They wrote to the king and said, we don't want this anymore. We, the people, will be free. And here we are 230 years later, and they've tried to bring that system worldwide, and it hasn't worked. It has not worked, and it will never work. So kingdom principles are hard to understand in the West because democracy was established as rebellion to a kingdom. If democracy or demonocracy of Satan, Laodicean, ruled by the people, if the world, right, if the system out there is a demonocracy of Satan ruled by the people, my question is, why do believers participate in such a corrupt system? Why do believers participate? And you know what some say? There's no other way. You know, they know it before, and they know that they're going to spend 10 or 12 years in schooling. They know the money they're going to do. They know that they're giving themselves over, right, to borrow a slave to the lender, and yet they do it anyway. And they say there's no other way. There's no other way. How else? How else can I survive? But you want to know something? To the Chinese pastors that give their life in a martyred and don't compromise, there is another way. To the Waldenses in the wilderness that said, no way, you could kill us, you can kill our children, you could do whatever, there is another way. They stayed to their convictions in faith until death. Did the Amish compromise with world democracy? Did the Amish say there's no other way? Did they go and get cars and all the other things? No. They stayed separate from the world as their core values were of higher standard than the mammon of the world. They stayed separate from the world because their core values were of a higher standard than the mammon of the world. And you know something? The life of a believer is a life of denial, self-control, and discipline. That's it. The problem is in democracy, people don't want that. People don't want to suffer loss, and yet our whole existence is to lose every day. Lose physical things, lose our pride, lose our selfishness. But in democracy, you don't think that way. You don't have a mindset of losing. You have a mindset of possessing, you know, of storing, being a physical pack rat. And some people may say, well, you know something, okay, with the Amish, I admired them. Maybe they didn't give in to the world. Maybe they stayed with their convictions and faith. But did they really sacrifice? Let me tell you something. The Amish have sacrificed. And in a time before the Amish, that went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, where the United States Supreme Court said the Amish do have the right to school their own children. Before that, many Amish went to prison because they would not send their children to the school system. So, like you said, there's no other way. So now the school comes, and they come into the Amish house, and they say, okay, you need to send your children to school. And if you don't, we're going to fine you X amount of dollars and we're going to put you in prison. So now what would you do? Would you say, you know, we tried. We were homeschooling up until this point, but now we tried. What can we do? If we don't coerce, if we don't give in, if we don't send our kids to that school, not only are they going to fine us and take our money, they're going to put dad in prison. Well, you know what the Amish did? They went to prison. The dads went to prison. They would not compromise. They would not give as a spiritual sacrifice their children to Satan's world system. Instead, they chose to go to prison. The same way as read Fox's Book of Martyr, read The Gates of Hell Will Not Prevail Against Her, my book of all the stories where they came and said, all you have to do is baptize your children. The Catholic Church came to the believers in the wilderness and said, just baptize your children and we'll leave you alone. And they said, you could take our money, you could torture us, you can even kill us, but there is no way on Yahweh's given earth that I am going to compromise myself and baptize my children in a pagan manner. It just is not going to happen. And in many cases, they did give their life. In many cases, they were killed. So here we are. We're in the worst system. I just read it in 2 Timothy 3. We are in the worst system the world has ever known. And what's your answer? Your answer is, there's just no other way? Here's your answer, I will not compromise until death. Because you know something? Fear not him who could take your physical body and kill it. Fear him who could take your soul and destroy it in the Gehenna fire. Do we have more fear of man than Yahweh? Because that's idolatry. If you fear more Satan's system and Satan's government and Satan's laws than you do Yahweh's, then you're committing idolatry. And that's the way it is. They stayed separate from the world as their core values were of a higher standard than the mammon of this world. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also wait for a Savior, the Master Yeshua Messiah. Our citizenship is in heaven, not on this earth. And that's why we don't vote. I'm shocked sometimes when I see believers that vote. Why would you vote? Because you want to know something? Talks about in Leviticus 20. When you vote for a person, then you're accountable for what they do. When you are voting for them, you're partaking in democracy. You're partaking in majority rule, because that's what voting is. Whoever gets the most votes is going to win. And you're partaking in demonocracy when you do that. And Yahweh's way is not that. And we're not citizens of a country. We're not citizens of Africa or America or Europe. We're citizens of the kingdom of Yahweh. And in the kingdom of Yahweh, there is no voting. You have the king's Torah. You have the king's law. And that law is eternal. It's part of his character. And that's it. And everyone honors that law. Everybody is in awe of that law. And nobody would ever think of changing it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. So that if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when you become a new believer, it's not just the beginning of it. Yes, I went from Sunday to Saturday. Yes, I went from pork to chicken. You know, these are the beginning of things. I stopped Christmas and now I keep the holy days. These are the basic things of sanctification to set us apart to be holy, right? But it doesn't stop there. All things become new and your mind has to change. Your mind has to change. It has to change from the demonocracy that's been placed there from birth or whatever else was placed there. Maybe it was placed in your mind, things of communism, you know, or things of socialism. You know, you have to get rid of those earthly manifestations in your mind and you have to build a kingdom mindset. Because as we saw, the kingdom mindset is completely different. All things become new. And all things are from Elohim, the one having reconciled us to himself through Yeshua Messiah and having given to us the ministry of reconciliation. For Yahweh was in Messiah, who has reconciled the world with his majesty, not charging them their sins against him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Then behalf of Messiah, we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors, and our job is to reconcile mankind back to Yahweh's kingdom. Because Yahweh is still colonizing the earth. And in a very, very, very short number of years, it's not going to be 6,000 anymore. It's not even going to be 100. But just in the next few short years, Yeshua's feet will go on that Mount of Olives, and the kingdom of Yahweh will be back here. And that's why we need to be living in that kingdom mindset every day of our life. And one thing an ambassador, and I've given messages about this, it's online. One thing an ambassador never does, even though you might be the ambassador to Sweden or the ambassador to China or the ambassador to anywhere, and you may live in that country for even 10 or 20 years, an ambassador never assimilates with the culture of the country he's assigned to. So that's why I say, you know, all of us are part of the kingdom of Yahweh, yet Yahweh has put different skin on us. He's given us different passports. Some of us are in Africa, some of us are in Asia, some of us have US passports, some from South America. But all of us are from the same kingdom. That's why racism is such a stupid thing. Because all of us are spirit. That is the same spirit. There's one spirit. All of us together are the same spirit in one body. And yet, for Yahweh's glory, He has made some of us a physical body of a woman, some the physical body of a man. Like I said, some from different parts of the world, different colors of our skin. Because He needs people. He needs ambassadors all over the world. And unfortunately, in Satan's system, if you don't have the right passport, you might not be able to be an ambassador in that country. And the fact that you might be living in Kenya or South Africa, you're not a citizen of that country. You simply have been put there at that time to be an ambassador of Yahweh. But each of us are citizens for the kingdom of Yahweh, no matter what your passport says. And praise Yahweh, we don't need a passport for the kingdom of Yahweh. By our fruits we'll know. By our character, that's where it will be. When Yeshua returns, that's the way we'll get into it. Luke 17, in verse 20 and 21. Luke 17, in 20 and 21. And being questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of Yahweh comes, he answered and said, the kingdom of Yahweh does not come with observation, right? So the kingdom of Yahweh doesn't just come when Yeshua comes on the Mount of Olives. Because if it was, he would have said, well, the kingdom of Yahweh comes with observation. When you see the Son of Man's feet go on the Mount of Olives, then the kingdom of Yahweh is here. He didn't say that. He said it doesn't come with observation. It's not a one-time thing that you're going to see happen. Nor will they say, lo here or lo there, for the kingdom of Yahweh is in your midst. Or some translations say the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. So what is he saying? He's saying that it's the mindset, it's your mind. That unless the kingdom of Yahweh is in you, you will not be in the kingdom of Yahweh. We have to, like Yeshua, eat, sleep, and breathe the kingdom of Yahweh. Everywhere we go, everything we do, every action we take every day of our life should be toward the kingdom of Yahweh, because we are ambassadors for that kingdom. That is our highest calling in life. And you know, Satan's kingdom, like I said, Satan's kingdom is already here. Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Because the way you know the kingdom of Yahweh is the mindset of the individual. The way you know the kingdom of Satan is just walk out your front door. Walk out your front door and you'll see it. Revelation 13, I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns 10 crowns and on his heads names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard and his feet were like the feet of the bear. And its mouth is a lion's mouth. And the dragon gave its power to it and its throne and its great authority. Went into this over and over and over again. You know, when we look in Daniel, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, you know, you look at the 5 permanent members of the United Nations, the Global World Security Council. You have the lion with eagle's wings, United States and Great Britain alliance. You have the leopard, which is France. You have the bear, which is Russia. You have the dragon, which is China. So this system is here already. This system has been here since 1945 in the beginning of the United Nations. The only thing that's stopping it is that Satan hasn't manifested as a human being and has taken control over that kingdom. He hasn't taken his crown. He's not yet put his throne in the holy city in Jerusalem, although he has put his kingdom there because it's just as evil there as it is anywhere else. But Yahweh will allow him to rule this earth for 42 months. But his kingdom is already there. And this is the problem that happens. People think that they can live in this democratic mindset and live in Satan's society their whole life until the very day that they see Jerusalem surrounded by army, or the very day that they see Satan come to this earth. And you know what? You do that and you will accept Satan. Because Satan, like it says, don't be surprised if he comes as an angel of light. He's not coming with horns on his head. And he's coming as a deceptive person. And we already know that. We already see it to the point where people around the world, and this is not just in Babylon, but it's all over the world, 20, 30, 40 million babies are aborted every year. And people say it's a woman's right to choose what she does with her body. I mean, I never heard of anything so absurd and so sick. So with that's the case, if a woman took her arm and had a brick in her arm and decided to smash somebody's head in, why would they arrest her for murder? She chose what to do, what she wanted with her body. That's what they're saying. A woman has the right to choose what she wants to do with her body. So if she wants to choose to smash someone's head in, that's her choice. But it's no different than killing a person with a brick than killing a baby in your womb. I mean, it's so sick. But that's Satan's society. And believers will live in that society. They'll work in that society. They'll educate themselves in that society. They'll have friends in that society. They'll do all the things in the society. Join the Elks Club, the TV, the internet, everything. Thinking, oh, but when Satan comes, then I won't take the mark of the beast. And you want to know something? You already took the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is not about a little chip in your hand. That chip is just to know where you're going. It's just a way to control the people. But that's not the reason that Yahweh is going to take someone's eternal life away. He's taking their eternal life away because Genesis 3, they're giving their allegiance to Satan instead of Yahweh, the same thing that Adam and Eve did. That's the reason that they're doing that. So we see this. Drop down to verse 7. And it was given to make war with the saints and to overcome them. We're seeing it. A believer dies about every 9 minutes in the world today. So the underground congregation is more than half the world today. Believers are already dying for their faith. And this beast power is already there. And verse 8, and all those dwelling in the earth will worship him, those of whom the names have not been written in the book of life, and of the Lamb having been slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So, do you have an ear? I mean, do you have an ear? This is pretty simple because you don't have to believe what I'm saying. Walk out your front door, look in society, and every single thing that the Bible said about this end time beast power is already there. Every sinister thing that is against Yahweh is in the society today. I mean, to the point where before, if we were having this conversation 25 years ago, we would be talking about Christians keeping Sunday instead of Saturday, you know, and how deceived the world is. Today we're talking about women killing the fruit of their womb, killing their children. We're talking about the world accepting two men living together in a homosexual perverted relationship. Sexual relationship. It's not about friendship. It's not about love. It's about sexual perversion. That's all it's about. That's the reason for it. And yet people accept it because it's demonocracy. Because Satan is the god of this world and this is his system. And how can believers live in that system? Revelation 14 and verse 7. Revelation 14 and verse 7. Saying with a great voice, fear Elohim and give glory to him because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. And another cherub followed, saying, the great city Babylon has fallen because of the wine of the anger of her fornication and made all nations drink. And a third cherub followed, saying in a great voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or in his hand, he also shall drink of the wine of the anger of Yahweh, having been mixed, undiluted in the cup of his wrath, and he will be tormented by fire and brimstone before the holy cherubs and before the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and those worshipping the beast in its image will have no rest night and day, even if anybody receives the mark of its name. Wow! So it's pretty simple. Anybody who worships the beast and its image, and you, when you are giving your allegiance to the world system and you're working in that system and you're sending your children to school in that system, a system that will tell your children there is no creator, we all came from an explosion of nothing. When you're doing that, a system that's going to tell your children homosexuality is a life choice, that's going to be teaching them all about sexual things at third and fourth grade that's going to have transgenders reading to them in kindergarten, then you were given allegiance to Satan's system. This is Satan's system. It's not Yahweh's system. We are to abstain from that at any cost. And all of a sudden, because we're in the Laodicean era, we're in the era of ruled by the people, we're in the era where the Laodicean is lukewarm, and we don't have that many Philadelphians as Laodiceans, somehow people think, oh, okay, I read the Waldenses, I read the Amish, I read these people, I read them all, and I admire what they did, but somehow I can live in the system, and it doesn't affect me. Where are they coming from? Anybody saying that is a Laodicean. Anybody at this point, with the evil in the world, that you're staying in the world and you're part of the world, you're a Laodicean at best. That's at best. And maybe at worst, you're going to the lake of fire, like it says here. Because you are given your allegiance to a system that Satan is the god of. That is idolatry. You are breaking the first commandment. And you know what? It's not going to be easy choices. And yes, there will be martyrism. There's a great martyrism coming. It's already started. Are people being martyred all over the world? China, Pakistan, Egypt, all over the place. But you know what? I wouldn't be showing love if I wasn't giving you the truth of this, that you have to come out. The hardest part is if you're in a system of democracy. That's not the best part. It's not best today to live in America or Europe or these other places. You're probably better off in China or in North America or North Korea. You're probably better off in these countries where you're forced to keep your faith, because that's where the people are the most faithful. That's where they're the strongest. And the place where they have the freedoms, what are they using it for? To be part of Satan's system. It's absolutely absurd. Yahweh would not take away someone's eternal life simply for putting a computer chip in their hand or their head. No, it's with the mind that you think, and the hand is what you do. And giving the allegiance, the loyalty over to this end time beast system and Satan, that is what Yahweh is going to punish. You must decide which is in our heart, the system of Babylon and Satan, or the system of the kingdom of Yahweh. Where your heart is, there your treasure is also. And both systems are in the world today. John 18 and verse 38 again. John 18 and verse 38. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And again he went out to the Jews and said, "I do not find one crime in him." What is truth? What is truth? Yahweh's word is truth. And Yeshua very clearly said, "My kingdom is not of this world." My kingdom is not of this world. What would he say today? What would he say today in a world where the Bible can't even be mentioned in a school system or the teacher will be fired? That as the curriculum worldwide, it's taught to children that the earth came out of an explosion instead of creation? Where they teach that homosexuality and the union of a man and a man is just as good as a union of a man and a woman? What would Yeshua say today? Would he say his kingdom is of this world? No, no way. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Yeshua's kingdom is not of this world, where Satan is the god of this world, and we can't give allegiance to both kingdoms. Why would any true ambassador for the kingdom of Yahweh have any type of allegiance or connection to this wicked, selfish, and immoral system of Satan? It is treason to Yahweh. Remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam lost a kingdom, not a religion, by believing and submitting to Satan over Yahweh. Matthew 13 in verse 11. Be done soon. Matthew 13 in verse 11. And this is the kingdom of Yahweh that Yeshua talked about. "And answering, he said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to those. For whoever has, to him will be given, and he will have overabundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away.'" Like we said, you have to use the Holy Spirit or you're going to lose it. "Because of this, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled in them, which says, 'In hearing you will hear and in no way understand, and seeing you will see and yet in no way perceive.' For hardened is the heart of this people." in this Laodicean demonocracy world, hardened is the heart of this people, and with their ears they are hard of hearing, and their eyes are blinded, that they should not see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and return, and I heal them. But your eyes are blessed because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous ones desired to see what you see and did not, and hear what you hear and did not hear. But you hear the parable of the seed. Everyone hearing the word of the kingdom and not understanding, then the evil one comes and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is that which was sown on the way, on the roadside. And that sown on the stony places is this, the one hearing the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root in him, and it is temporal. And when trouble or persecution comes, he's quickly offended because of the word. And that sown into the thorn bushes is this one, the one hearing the word, and the cares of this world and the deceit of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But that sown on the good ground is this one hearing the word and understanding it, who indeed bears and yields fruit, 100, 160, 130. He put before them another parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a man sowing good seed in the fields. But when the men were sleeping, an enemy came and sowed tares in the midst of the wheat and went away. And when the blade sprouted and produced fruit, then the tare also appeared. And coming near, the slaves of the master said to him, sir, you did not sow good seed in your field. Then from where does come the tares? And he said to him, a man, an enemy, did this. And the slaves said to him, do you desire then that us going we should gather them? But he said, no, lest gathering the tares, you should uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my granary. Go down to verse 36. Then sending away the crowds, Yeshua came into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. And answering, he said to him, the one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, the god of this world. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the cherubs are the reapers. Then as the tares are gathered and are consumed in the fire, so it will be in the completion of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his cherubs, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The one having ears to hear, let him hear. So this is what's going to happen, right? Are you living for the kingdom of Yahweh? It's a mentality, right? It's not just a reality, it's a mentality. Or you're living for Satan's kingdom. And then he said again, the kingdom of heaven is compared to treasure being hidden in the field, which finding a man hid. And for all the joy of it, he goes and sells all things, as many as he has, and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a man, a merchant, seeking excellent pearls, who finding one very precious pearl, going away, has sold all things, as many as he had, and bought it, right? Some say there's no other way. The ones who say that are Laodiceans and tares, because there's always another way. The kingdom of Yahweh should be the most precious thing to our life. And like it says, it's like a man that saw a pearl in a field and sold everything he had to get that pearl. Do we feel that way? Are we willing to sacrifice every last thing of our life, even our physical life, to be part of the kingdom of Yahweh? Or are we being a Laodicean? Are we compromising? Are we allowing the system around us and the people around us and the Laodicean attitude to make us think, what other choice do I have? Well, you always have a choice. And you know what? If you want to be in the kingdom, you have to make those hard choices. Like I said, the life of a believer is a life of denial, self-control, and discipline. And there's always a choice, but maybe not an easy one. Both systems, Satan's system of Babylon and Yahweh's system of the kingdom, are present today, and we have to choose. You must decide each day of your life which kingdom you will live in. The kingdom is a reality, but it's also a mentality that we must live in daily. Yeshua lived in that mentality every day of his life. We must surrender our will and our corrupted human nature to the Spirit of Yahweh every day, and the proof of this will be the fruit that we bear. You can't work in the world 60 hours a week, watch worldly TV, worldly internet, worldly movies, playing golf and every pleasure-seeking games for pleasure, and think that you are ambassador for Yahweh's kingdom. The kingdom must be the greatest priority in our life, and we can't let the cares of life lessen our faith. And you know, we sing and we pray and we call Yeshua our master and our king, right? We say this in songs, we say it in prayers. And yet so many live in a democratic mindset. They live in a mindset of still equality, of never following a man. I'm not going to follow what's being said. I want my opinion heard. Wanting everybody to be heard instead of understanding that a kingdom mindset is the mindset there's only one opinion, and that's the opinion of Yahweh. So how as a people, how can we sit here and sing songs and praises and say master and king and master and king of kings if we're living in a demonocracy mindset? Revelation 22 in verse 10, the last scripture we're going into. Revelation 22, 10. We need to embrace that kingdom like never before. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is at hand. The one acting unjustly will continue to act unjustly, and he who is filthy will continue to be filthy. And to the righteous, let him continue to do righteousness. And he who is holy, let him continue to be holy. And behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to give each according to his work. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Blessed are the ones doing his commandments, that their authority will be over the tree of life, and that they may enter by the gates into the city. Wow. So here we are. So you need to ask yourself, which kingdom are you living in? Which kingdom are you living in? Are you living in the kingdom of Satan and Babylon in this world, or are you living in the kingdom of Yahweh? Because one thing is sure, Yeshua said, my kingdom is not of this world. And we need to say the same thing every day. My kingdom is not of this world. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.